Felsenburgh, Alamosa, and Trinidad. Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 10 o'clock.
Good morning. And welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be here with you this morning to receive the Lord's gifts, and we're glad to be gathered together around a very special new item in our sanctuary. If you haven't noticed, I'm sure you did, that we will bless and commission this morning for service to the Lord. Also, if you notice, being a Christian is a lot about helping people, and helping people is something the Lord did and also leads us to do. But how exactly we go about that, we'll be talking about later in our service. We want to welcome you this morning. Again, welcome those who are tuned in on the radio as well. Thanks for joining us and wish the Lord's blessings to you today also. We're glad you're here, and I'm sure the Lord has blessings for all of us. We begin our service this morning with our opening hymn. That's hymn 686 in your hymnal in front of you. Come thou fount of every blessing. Let's sing together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You've come on a special Sunday for our church to have a new font for our baptisms in our sanctuary. Might live the rest of our lives and never see a different font in the sanctuary of Trinity. It's pretty incredible the use that these are given. And very special and holy purpose that we use these items. We'll continue through our blessing of the baptismal font found in our agenda. Beloved in the Lord, in the waters of holy baptism, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Therefore, it is fitting that we bless this baptismal font, which shall hold the waters of mercy, by which the Father grants us salvation through his Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here a reading from Psalm 51. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. This baptismal font brought in by our elders here at the church, our lay ministry board, and through the skillful hands and craft and blessing of God from Bruce May, we're blessed that he has been gifted to put things like this beautiful together. And so we wanted to set aside a special moment just to recognize that underneath the bowl of the font is a plaque, or four plaques that name those who, well, three plaques that name those who were a part of bringing this project together, including our LWML, who helped us greatly with this. And then the fourth plaque, which is the dedication, of course, to our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, as he will work according to his promise through the water that gets placed into this vessel to bring grace, mercy, the forgiveness of sins, and the Holy Spirit in that gift upon those who receive the washing of holy baptism in it. So quite a special and wonderful moment. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your great mercy, you preserved Noah and his family through the flood and led your people Israel through the waters of the Red Sea, through the baptism in the Jordan River of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. Lord, we pray you bless this baptismal font, that those who are here, given new birth by the water and the Spirit, may receive the forgiveness of sins and eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless this baptismal font and all who are regenerated here by water and word. Amen. We invite the congregation to stand as we begin the remainder of our service. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our intro this morning from Romans 10 and Isaiah 52. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, who publish peace and bring good news of salvation. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their works to the end of the world.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
We speak the Kyrie together. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to preserve your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word, your church may be kept free from all harm and danger, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the 66th chapter of the book of Isaiah's prophecy. It's amazing when we look at this text and hear it read to consider in the first section, it tells us, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. And to think about, why would we be glad for Jerusalem? The temple's been torn down. All that's left of that is a wailing wall. Why would we be glad for Jerusalem except that from Jerusalem comes our Lord Jesus who saves us? Hear that as you hear the reading this morning from Isaiah 66. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our epistle lesson this morning from Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now, if you're able, for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Wherever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our sermon hymn for this morning, hymn 801, "How Great Thou Art." grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This morning from our epistle lesson in Galatians chapter 6, we hear some very important words. Brothers, if anyone is caught up in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. The word of the Lord. I bet you've got somebody in your life right now that you wish you could help. Probably multiple people for many of us. People that we just want to see believe in Christ. Trust in his mercy and his forgiveness. Leave maybe their way of life right now and turn and repent and trust in the Lord. I bet you've got somebody in your life that you're hoping that for. We want to help people, don't we? We want to help people at church. We want to help people at home. We want to help people even at work sometimes. People that we care about, people that God made. And we feel what Paul's talking about in the text this morning when he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, the law of Christ is an interesting phrase there, isn't it? What law is he talking about exactly? Well, he's not referring to law in the way that we normally think about it, but more in the way of natural law. Natural law would be something like gravity, right? If I drop my pen, it's gonna fall. It doesn't matter how I drop it, where I drop it, when I drop it. If I drop it, it's going down. If we believe, we care about other people. This is the law of Christ, that we love them, that we want to see them do well and prosper and have faith and live life even eternally. We want to see it. And so we feel it. It's already working in us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's Christ in us. That's what we're dealing with there. His faithfulness. We can't help it. We want to help people. We want to serve people. We want those people to be okay. But like a person who's out in the middle of deep water and they're drowning, they can't swim out there, we see them and we want to rush to help. But if we can't swim either, those waters, then guess what? If we go out there, somebody else is going to have to come out, and now they've got two people to rescue from out there. There's something, even though we feel this strong need to help others, there's something that's working against us all the while, that's short-circuiting not the desire to help those other people, but the ability to carry it out, to be able to fulfill the law of Christ. Now that's where the rubber meets the road in the issue. Because when we go out to help someone else, there's something short-circuiting it all the while. Strange part is, what's short-circuiting it? What's making it hard for me to help the person that I know needs help? We think, they need my help, and we're wrong. Why? Because they don't need your help. They don't need my help. They need our Lord and his help. See, the thing that short-circuits it, that gets in the way of actually being able to help, is the person in the mirror. And it goes for me too. That person in the mirror is in the way of bringing Christ's true love to that other person what we long for them to have. Faith in Jesus, turn and repent. So often it's us that's smack dab in the middle of short-circuiting the whole thing. How we see ourselves, friends, directly affects how we treat other people. So there's a way about people in a sinful world and people that are sinful that somehow we're able to make everything about us. Do we want to help that person? Gotta ask why. Is it really about them? Or is that person in the mirror trying to grab a hold of something for themselves? Is that person in the mirror, you heard the scripture, keep watch on yourselves, he said, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks that they're something when they're nothing, they deceive themselves. This is what we so often get confused about in our Christian faith, is that being a Christian is not about who being a Christian makes you. Being a Christian is about Jesus. It's not about who being a Christian makes me. But that person in the mirror standing there always saying, did we do enough? Are we good enough? Are we okay? Did we check off all the boxes? Can we measure up? Friends, that's not it. We can't bear one another's burdens unless we can have empathy for that person and sympathy for that person. If we're engaged in that helping for ourselves, it ends up pretty sick and twisted, actually. Being a Christian is not about who being a Christian makes you. Being a Christian is about Jesus. And what we're bringing to those people who so desperately need him is not us and our way of life or how we would do things or what even makes sense to us necessarily. We're not trying to make them into us. Think of an image of that, of some missionaries going over to a foreign country. They show up there in that very different place. And why, right away they realize, what are we going to do? We can't fix these people's lives like we thought we were supposed to fix other people's lives back at home. These people are way too different from us. All we can do here is tell them about Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that's all we can do anywhere. It's not up to us to fix a single soul. It's up to us to bring Christ, to bring his forgiveness and his mercy and his grace and his love, and to actually love our neighbor as ourselves, not use our neighbor to make us feel better about the fact that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. It's so locked in our heads to think that way. It's so natural to all of us, including myself, to think we have to jump through the hoops and fulfill the right tasks and get it right. We make it about us and who we are. And listen real quick to Luke's gospel in the 18th chapter, to a place where Jesus teaches very specifically about this perspective on helping the neighbor. He says, this is Luke 18, verse 9 and following. Jesus told a parable about some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Did you catch it? The way we see ourselves adversely affects the way that we treat others. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor, just that little verse, how that's the exact approach I see so many people utilizing when they try to help others. It continues. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his own breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. It's pretty amazing how, if you modernize that just a little bit and sort of paraphrase it, how many Christians would pray, Lord, I sure thank you that I'm not like those drug users. And I sure thank you that I'm not like those immoral people living their immoral life. Thank you, Lord, for making me a better person than that. I tell you, that does not go home justified. That's garbage. That's making Christianity about you and who it makes you, and not about Christ, which is who it's really about. We got to hear what the scripture's saying to us, even though it's a really huge pill, that none are righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. You are no better than anybody else. And if you think so, that doesn't go home justified. And that explains why we want to help our neighbors, doesn't it? Because we have some sick thing going on in here, and we need that. Is it even about the neighbor? That's the question. Or is it about the person in the mirror? Trying to earn something, trying to prove something, trying to get something. We've got baggage. And that baggage is trying to justify ourselves, trying to make ourselves feel like we're okay. And often, that's going out trying to help. Careful, he's saying. Take watch of yourselves. This isn't about you. It's not about me. When I used to farm, and it's been a while since I've been on a tractor. We were joking about that last Sunday. It's been a while. But I can remember distinctly being on this old tractor, and I had a four-bottom plow behind me. And as I was going along in the tractor, I tried to put that plow in the ground, and it would just hit the ground and slide. And it would never dig in like it's supposed to, right? The ground was so hard. It was so hard that I couldn't get the plow in the dirt. And you know what you gotta do in that situation? You have to either wait for the rain, which will come and get the soil loosened up a little bit, or you have to turn on the sprinkler like we do, right? And water that thing. And then just, you gotta catch it just at the right time. So it's not too muddy, but it hasn't dried back out and become total concrete yet. And when that water hits it, it's just the right moment. That plow will go down in the dirt and start to till that soil so that it can raise up a good crop. I pray that for you and for me this morning, that God caught you at just the right moment and got his plow of his law into our hearts to show us that this isn't about us, this Christian thing, this faith thing. It's not about who it makes me. It's about Christ and what he did on the cross and what he did in the resurrection and helping someone or bearing with someone in their burdens. It's about Jesus. It's about sharing his love and his mercy. When we make it about us, it's really obvious to the people we're talking to, because it doesn't come across as helpful or sympathizing or even empathizing. It comes across as condescending, and they hear it loud and clear that we think we know better and we're better than them. That's how it comes across if we're making it about us. But making it about Jesus sounds more like this. I'm a sinner. I can't do anything to earn my way. I can't accomplish anything. I haven't lived a perfect life. I've made a million mistakes. I'll never measure up. But the truth is, someone died for me. Someone did it for me. Someone did it for you. That's not condescending at all. That's not self-righteous at all. The old nature is always trying to gain from everything we do. But here's the gospel, friends. Jesus took that old nature that wants to earn and prove itself and show that it's okay by its own deeds, thoughts, and actions, and he crucified it on the cross. And now in Christ, it's no longer living. We don't have to try to be enough. And we don't have to look at that mirror and say, am I enough? Am I good enough? Am I going to be okay? Because Jesus Christ's death made you enough. It made you his child. It made you a joint heir with Christ, a brother and sister with Christ. It gave you a place at the table and a place in the heavens and a purpose in your life. He did that. We don't have to do that. And now we're free to bear one another's burdens, to love and not make it about us, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to stand, if you're able, as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, Lord, truly you are our hope and our stay and our help. And truly, Lord, you forgive us for the times that we make this life about us instead of about you. Lord, bless us with your Son's instruction each and every day and help us to continue, Lord, by your grace, to serve you. And Lord, we pray that your harvest may be plentiful, for we know the laborers are few. Lord, gather those that you're calling into your kingdom and bless them with your gifts. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, grant that this new font that we've commissioned today, you may use to sow the seed of faith in the Spirit through the waters of baptism into souls and lives here in our place, that those may go forth from here and fulfill the law of Christ by bearing with one another's burdens, not for their own sakes, but for yours. And guard us, Lord, lest we grow weary in doing good or become boastful, that in due season we may enjoy the Spirit's harvest of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, your Son sent the 72 with charge to enter homes to proclaim peace and declare the coming of your kingdom. Lord, grant our homes to be places of peace, that husbands and wives would love and honor one another, that children are nurtured in faith in your name, and that your kingdom would come among us, Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, be with those who govern in our nation, especially our president, our governor, and all those elected and appointed to serve us. Give to the nations an end to violence and terror, and guide us to work for the common good for the sake of those most vulnerable. And Lord, down in Texas, be with those folks. Comfort those who've lost. Protect those who are in need. And pour your grace out, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God, the work of your hands is evident in the heavens above and in the sun and its course in the sky. Teach us thankfulness for your created order, Lord, that we may rejoice in all the provision you give and the care for your creation. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, sustain the sick, the suffering, the grieving, and the dying with your word of peace and healing grace. Lord, we name before you this morning those who are in need of prayers. Brandon Jones, Barbara Lind, Kim King, Lauren O'Howe, James Wright, the Yutzi family, Larry Wilcox, Jeff Autopolic, Gail Nelson, Frank and Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Sandy Cody, Larry Reinberger, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and Lord, protection for Sharon Schultz this upcoming week. Lord, also be with those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Father, give them patience in their afflictions and faith in your sufficient grace, that they may be kept through any day of trouble and brought with us at last to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, as your people of old drank and were satisfied by your abundant comfort shown to Jerusalem, may we likewise be satisfied, Lord, as you pour out your Son's life upon us through his word, given for our comfort today, that we may know and be assured of our forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. How awesome are your deeds, O Lord. You have planted us, you have prepared the soil, and you have directed us to pray that you would send workers into your vineyard. You have answered the prayer through your Son and his church. As your kingdom draws nearer each day, teach us to boast only in the cross of Jesus, rejoicing that our names are written in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This time we invite the Johnson family to come up. Positive that most, if not all of you, know Steve and Emily and their family. We have been blessed by their family in many ways here at Trinity, but they are moving and they're headed out to Grand Junction. And so this is their last Sunday with us here at Trinity. So If we seem sad, it's because we love you. Steve, as you know, has been on our lay ministry board for a long time and helped us through many things. And so along with the other lay ministers, I myself am sad to see you go from that as well. Isabel has been helping us so much. She was very much a part of our school, as well as Genevieve too. And Isabel's done a lot of acolyting for us too. Just so much of a blessing, I can't even say everything. I'd have to stand up here the rest of the morning. But we're gonna miss them very much. We definitely send you with our love, and we wanted to go through our farewell and Godspeed, right? Steve and Emily and the family. Beloved in the Lord, in holy baptism, you became members of the Holy Christian Church, and our Lord's word and sacraments have nourished you in this congregation for years. As we bid you farewell and Godspeed, hear the words of the Apostle Paul. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have faithfully nourished Steve and Emily and Isabel and Genevieve and Juliet here in this congregation. Bless, protect, and defend them as they now depart from us. Preserve them in the confession of your name and in loving service to others. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints, and bring us at last to the joys of your heavenly kingdom together through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace and joy in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. At this time, we come to the time in our service where our offerings are collected and presented. As the offerings are collected and brought forward, there's an insert in your bulletin this morning for the song, Seek Ye First. We sing that together. invite the congregation to stand for the Lord's Prayer and our benediction. We pray as the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his favor upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Please be seated. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn 594, a baptismal hymn in our hymnal, A God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It. Let's sing.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. The president signs a major disaster declaration for Kerr County, Texas. 11 campers still missing.
The number of bodies recovered in and around the Guadalupe River has soared to 59 since last night. The dead include 38 adults and 21 kids, primarily from the many campgrounds that operate here in the Texas Hill Country. Beyond Kerr County, 9 other flood-related deaths bring the total from the Independence Day floods to 68 lives lost.
ABC's Jim Ryan. Flooding now a concern for North Carolina, up to half a foot of rain from Tropical Depression Chantel. Philly's fourth festival fizzles as big name performers bail.
Pressure on the city mounting. Celebrity performers LL Cool J and Jasmine Sullivan backing out of the city's 4th of July celebration, saying they're standing with the workers.
Who are on strike for better wages. ABC's Olivia Rubin. Trash has been piling up for 6 days, and it's hot in Philly. This is ABC News.